assures me he knows how to do a sermon long or short. So, everyone, this is Dave.
Thanks, Lisa.
Let me lay a little groundwork, first of all. The notion of jubilee is a biblical term. You know, most of you know that I'm also a pastor. One of the things, Mary Harris, there are you. Does Bernie cover this? You have to understand, Mary's the dean of the school where I earned my doctorate, and she came up here from Indianapolis. The idea of jubilee, the celebration, is biblical in the sense that you all know the term sabbatical. You know that on the Sabbath, the seventh day, the Lord rested. On the sabbatical, the seventh year in a cycle, was the year historically in which the fields were allowed to lie fallow. And if they were allowed to lie fallow, that meant that the fields would produce better in the long term if there was a period of rest that was involved. So that when you multiply all of those sabbaticals every seven-year cycle, you come to the 49th year, which is what we are in. We're in the 50th year. We've passed the 49th anniversary, if you will. So this is the year of Jubilee. And in Jubilee, the people celebrate, they party, they enjoy one another's company, they learn to value what they have for what it is and to treasure it. Now, as have virtually everyone else in this room, you have made some effort to research your own families, I trust? How many of you have endured, seen, experienced someone's golden wedding anniversary? How many of you have enjoyed one for your own self? Well, good for you. Congratulations. That's a wonderful achievement. In my own family, there are very few. In fact, in the recent generations of family members that I will have known personally, they do not exist. They have never happened. So through the gift of modern technology, those wonderful online database resources that do name searches, I've been able to find newspaper columns that were published in the local weekly newspapers that relate to both my great-grandparents and my double-great-grandparents, actually a mother-daughter string. Their 50th wedding anniversaries in 1905 and 1944. My mother's maternal grandmother and her mother celebrated a 50th. Now, being a pastor, I spend time around families in moments of delighted joy and also in great sorrow. That's the nature of my work. And so I get the chance to see what people have to show of themselves in both the best and the worst of times. And while I would like to think that a jubilee is the best of times, that is not always the case. In the sense that they draw families together, families gather. Now, I was just sharing at the table, I'm the youngest of five children. And when you're the youngest, any other babies of the families here? Our mothers loved us best. I don't care what anybody tries to tell us otherwise. Those of us who are the youngest know that there are stories that pre-exist our very being. And those stories that pre-exist our very being are naturally and formidably reshaped when told to us by our older siblings, usually having to do with our own arrival in life. And they use them as selective torture devices. Because that is the nature of the human beast. Because, of course, say it again, Mom loved you the best. And as long as Mom loved me the best, that means that Kathleen, Mary Beth, Tom, and John really do have it in for me. As I look at the story of the article on my double-great-grandfolks' wedding anniversary, 50 years in 1905, there's this lovely flowery prose of the circa turn of the last century talking about how wonderful it all was and all the wonderful gifts that they received and how the meal was prepared and the ladies of the Methodist Episcopal Church put out a lovely spread for the family picnic. And I read through those who were in attendance. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Strange enough, of the nine children they had, only eight of them came. And I did a little thinking about that because the eighth party who was not there was actually the one who lived on the home farm. where grandma and grandpa had given up the farm and moved into the village. Those of you who have those kinds of situations, when grandpa is ready to give up the farming, they move into town, and then the son, or the presumably the son, perhaps the son-in-law, or maybe if they're old enough, a grandson, will take over the farming operations. All eight of the other children came from St. Louis and from Danville and came from Decatur and from surrounding towns. And the one local child did not come. I made an effort to look for another newspaper accounting to see if they had simply left the name off because everybody would know who they were. But the two weeklies and the one regional daily all had an accounting of this wedding anniversary. And all three of them left off that set of names. Now that spoke volumes to me 100-odd years later as I was looking at the materials. It made me think of what families are and they do. And we who pursue our families for fun and occasionally for profit, we pursue our families so we can know about them, and we're left with the task of intuiting things that are not always written down. We who practice what I call the genealogical arts, because there is the social science of family history studies, but there is, I think, very firmly an aspect of our work that is an art. And the art of genealogy involves the intuition, the ability to see the unwritten that you can then correlate through evidence and other pieces, to be able to piece together what is not spoken of a family feud. How do you address those things? And how, in a jubilee, do you acknowledge those things? When families come together in times of joy or sorrow, usually there is an ability to paper over the differences, if even only for a few hours or a couple of days. I can get through this. Make sure my gin is close. Or conversely, don't you dare leave my side, honey. Do not leave me to these people. Now, when you visit with extended families, those of us who have been blessed with children of our own over the course of the years, know that introducing your children to the crazy relatives is not always a simple thing. And either at Grandma and Grandpa's 50th wedding anniversary or Grandpa's funeral, there is a moment when you do actually let Uncle Harold come out of the attic. And you have to let him be known. Now, that's not Uncle Harold Henderson, I'm just saying. There does come that moment when the stories that you have heard suddenly take on an entirely new meaning just on the basis of seeing someone walk in the room. And you begin to understand why it is your mother does not answer certain questions. And when you ask them, she gets bristly. Jubilee is to be in the business of being joyful even when moments are not joy-filled. And that's family. None of us has chosen our families. We may have chosen our spouses, perhaps. But we don't choose those brothers and sisters, cousins, aunts and uncles that have come into our lives. We may choose to bear children or not, but once they're here, we have less control over them than we might like to admit. And as we watch their lives unfold, and we watch the lives of our nephews and nieces unfold, there are challenging descriptive moments that come to bear. And how do you live those out in Jubilee? Because in Jubilee, we are to be joyful. Now, what does that to do with BCG? What does that have to do with genealogy? As I said before, I believe that the work we pursue as genealogists, whether we have credentials or not, begins in a joyful experience. Think hard on the first time you encountered a real record. The first time you found your grandmother's family Bible, your aunt's notes, a photograph in an aged suitcase that you had never seen before that looks frightening like your older brother when he's mad. You find those things and people begin to to leap off of those images and those pages, and they begin to become very real for us. How many of you have had conversations in these last couple of days or over the course of the next few where you will be talking about people who have been dead for 90 years, but you're talking about them as if they were living last week back home? We take these people and we take ownership of them, which is to our blessing. It is to our good that we have the chance to look at these people and see them for their warts. I look at that family of 9 children, the one nearest son and wife and children who did not come to their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary in 1905. I begin to look at the 8 who were there. Shall I describe them for you? There was the brother who was the Klansman. There was the brother who slept with his other brother's wife. There was the father-in-law who slept with the granddaughter. The pieces of the family get more and more complex. And the stories that they tell that we are actively pursuing and actively seeking to understand inform relationships over time. Those uncles, those aunts, those cousins, those impacts of those stories reverberate over the course of a century subsequently. And as you look, as I look and I see what was said and what was done and what was not said or done, it makes perfect sense that Uncle Eb wasn't there. And perhaps it was not Uncle Eb's fault. It was perhaps even to the good that he had the wisdom to stay away, not for his own sake, but for the sake of others, that they might be able to celebrate that jubilee with joy and not feel concerned that he was going to be there, or not put himself or his family through what he would experience. 50 years is a long time. I've said this before. The board and I were both born in 1964. We have grown gray over the course of the same time. And like families, certified communities in the context of BCG, we gather at these events and we have our family reunion. You've all been accosted in the corridors or in the exhibit hall or in the lecture room when people have come up to you and give you the stuffing, loving hugs. And people you see across the room, you think, you know, if I turn left here, I can get out onto the street and not have to look at that person. We're no different than a family. In many ways. The community of people who do genealogy and come to these conferences and the work that we do in our hometowns and in our home societies and for ourselves and for our clients, it's really no different than any other family. And so the family, us, we are in the midst of Jubilee and we should be prepared to celebrate. Why? 50 years is a long time. Why should we remember what was done? When you look at the character of the women and men of the fellows of the American Society of Genealogists and the National Genealogical Society who were involved critically in our founding in the early part of 1964, I've looked at them and I've read their histories and I've read their notes, and some of them I know and knew. And I think to myself, this was an interesting crowd. And as I've read their stories and seen of what they did professionally and what their interests were personally, I wonder how they could stand to be in the same room with each other. Because they had one common goal, I've determined. They lived in a time when our field was looked upon with little regard at all. Genealogists were a bunch of crackpot, little blue-haired ladies, not even yet wearing tennis shoes, living in the crooks and corners of a Carnegie library, trying to prove something that was unprovable. And the field was seen by serious historians, academics, and others as a bunch of wannabes, because what we were pursuing didn't matter. Genealogy is insignificant. It's unimportant. Those relationships that you are charting and tracking, that's fine for horses and dogs, but people are not animals. What do you need a pedigree for? We have taken as our avocation, as our career, as our passion, a field that looks at people for who they are and seeks to understand them in their own context. We are challenged frequently because what we look at and see in the second decade of the 21st century about other people's lives and other people's times may offend us, may confuse us, might even confuddle us. But when we look at them carefully in their own context, the place and time, we begin to understand that in many ways they really are no different than we are. that they're human. They had relationships with people. The names that you see on a deed or in a church book, those people were living, breathing, sentient beings. They're not just another name to fill in on your database. They were people who lived lives that are worthy of remembering. They are people who cared enough about the people they loved in life to celebrate them with them in moments of joy. They were the kind of people who, like us, deserve the chance to celebrate together enormous and happy accomplishments. In all honesty, as I look at the work that the board has done and the work that each of us who have been certified have done, I struggle because, as we know, there are people who look at what we do and they say it doesn't matter. I have been gifted by the grace of a family who supported me through undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral education. I have earned my degrees. The plastic lambskins hang on the framed wall. They're there. But the one of which I'm most proud, in all honesty, is the one that is signed by Kay Freilich and Lynn McMillian from April of 2004. And of all the academic accomplishments I've been able to amass, I think the reason I am most pleased with this one is this is the one that made my mother-in-law smile. The academic stuff was expected. There was no debate. There was no discussion. Those were required if I was going to be in good standing with my in-laws. But earning certification under the board's auspices, something my mother-in-law knew nothing about, frankly, when the notice came in the mail and she could see how pleased I was and how pleased my wife was, and she asked and wanted to know what was going on, she immediately announced Jubilee. She paid for dinner for the whole family. She took us out to a restaurant and she even ordered a sarsaparilla for herself, which is unusual, trust me. The idea that what we do is worthy of merit. I've talked about merit in a couple of contexts recently. What is merit? How do you determine merit? What do you value in what we do? We have been engaged in gamesmanship over the last couple of weeks about what it is we do and who says what and how. And I come back to the central issue that BCG, the Board for Certification of Genealogists, has been for nearly 50 years now engaged in the task of recognizing meritorious work in our field. It's not an honorific. That's the work of the fellows of the ASG. And that's not a criticism at all. It's an enormously capable and accomplished group of professional practitioners in our field. But this is a way of saying to those of us who are mere mortals that what you do and how you do it has merit, has value. That you are able to do something in a way and explain it in a way that other people, even if they know nothing of our field and its work, will be able to reasonably follow it and understand it and grasp its meaning. What good does it do us or our forebears or our descendants if the work that we do is so convoluted and poorly presented that no one can understand it? The work that the board has been doing for at least the last 13 years and since the publication of the standards manual, the idea that we are being clear in our expectations, the idea that we are saying to all folks who are working in this field that what we do and how we do it is worth emulating. I'm not embarrassed to say I'm a certified genealogist under the board's auspices, and I hope that those of us who are and those of us who aspire to it will not be distracted by voices that say, you're elitist. I'm not elitist. I'm a little D-Democrat. I'm a big D-Democrat, but that's another story. I believe that in the midst of this genealogical little D-democracy, that there are people whose gifts for our work will come to bear and will come to shine. And those folks and their abilities to present their findings, their reasonings, their results give us reason to celebrate. Those folks, those nine siblings, even the outlaw, and my double great grandparents' family deserve to have their story told. They were largely illiterate. They certainly had their problems. And I can tell you about the string of problems in the intervening century. Name a family, I'm happy to tell you I've seen it. in the families that we study, and I dare say all of you have the same thing. But there is reason to be engaged in Jubilee on behalf of these people. To be joyful in your findings, to be joyful in your product, to be joyful in your discoveries, and here's the real blessing. And I'm not going to get preachy on you, so bear with me. I know of no other field of academic pursuit, certainly in my personal experience, where the joys of another are so readily and clearly become the joy of your companions in your work. How many of you have seen the happy dance? I remember my first semester at Eden, starting my master's program, I swore off genealogy. I was 27 years old, I had an 18-month-old daughter, my wife was teaching school, and I was sucking money out of the household income. I was going to give up genealogy until I got through my master's program. It lasted 4 weeks. Until I found the LDS branch library in West St. Louis County, and I ordered microfilms, and a family on which I had at that point been working for 15 years had never presented itself in a way that I could find them. No matter what I searched, no matter how I reasoned, no matter where I turned the stone, it wasn't happening. And at that day, when I opened up the parish register of Pingen in the southern end of Baden on the Bodensee, and I found my double great grandmother and her ancestors in 9 lines, not kidding you, from 1828 to 1620. And as I sat there, literally weeping at a microfilm reader. Literally. Because if you've looked for your people long enough, you feel a spiritual connection with them. That's, again, I don't want to preach. But when you have done the hard work of looking for these people and searching them out and mumbling and cursing and struggling to figure out the pieces, when you know they're there and you just can't see them, and then you finally find them. And you know what their story is. And you know how those stories impact their families and the families that came between you and them and how they have informed you. Those are the stories for which we celebrate. Those are the people with whom we celebrate in Jubilee. The board's work of a half century is valuable, has merit, has purpose, and has reason. No matter what the community may say, in criticizing or not criticizing who we are and what we claim and what we say and how they choose to look at us, we of the board and those who aspire to work with the board and to follow what the board offers have made a positive and real and lasting impact on the way American genealogy and, in fact, genealogy is practiced around the world. And that is cause for much rejoicing. The idea that standards can come to bear, not only here but there, that the work that we do will go across international borders, and people who are now in Britain or Germany or Australia, New Zealand or wherever, will look to us as a community of practitioners for leadership in establishing standards that allow for the work to be useful generation to generation, is cause for much joy. Our work, certified or not, just wanting a lunch and wanting to be entertained for 20 minutes or not, our work is simple: to make what we do continue to have relevance and to continue to bear forth the truth of the families of whom and with whom we are a part. Because if we fail to do that, why are we spending our time and resources? Why are we pursuing these goals? What is it about what we do and how we do that will continue to make a difference? I think the work of the board in this year of Jubilee is about the business of simply letting people know that what and how we do matters and makes a difference. And so, celebrate. Be proud. Recognize that even Nebraska Calvinists will celebrate when there is good news, when the certification letter comes. Recognize that what we do and the people we do it with is a source of much joy and should continue to be so. Thanks very much. Enjoy the rest of the conference, and I hope to see you across the way.